You never what? Can't hear you.
I said I'd never peed in a bed as a child.
Wow, what a way to start a podcast.
Well, I just wanted the people to know.
I'm sure you peed in the bed at some point before you can remember.
No, never. I was definitely afraid of being ridiculed.
Well, what kind of ridiculing would you get?
I was the youngest sibling, so a lot.
So, like, ridiculing from your siblings?
Siblings who would then go out in the playground and tell everyone. Well, maybe not playground because they were older. But the whole neighborhood would have known.
What you're telling me is I should embarrass Leo and be like, hey, guys.
Whoa, we're not using names. Come on. That's my friend you're talking about. What is your problem? I was talking about my childhood. Wow.
I'm just wondering how to break the cycle of peeing at night.
Yeah. It'll play itself out.
That's what I don't get too concerned. It'll happen. Surely, yeah. Surely he won't be doing this as a teenager. Or like a 5-year-old. I met a girl whose family told her that they would take her to Disney World if she stopped peeing the bed. I guess it like really can be a mental thing. I don't know. And somehow she stopped going pee at night and was able to go to Disney World, and it was a happy ever after story. Well, I'm not even sure I could tell you this girl's name. I remember her face, but I remember that story.
Did you stop being friends with her because she peed in the bed so much?
No. I knew her like back in college, and she was just not someone who we like studied abroad together. Not someone who I like kept in close touch with.
A friend from college, and we studied abroad together too. Not at the same time. That would be weird. It was different times. Anywho, how have you been?
I've been pretty good, minus the fact that I'm sick I'm like kind of sick for probably the fifth time since May. Like, no, not exaggerating. It's insane. So I have a theory that either...
You're going to blame the kids again, aren't you?
Well, I was really going to blame COVID.
Oh, wow.
It did something to my immune system, and like now I have no immune system. Or alternatively, could be from the fact that I now have two kids who both sneeze and cough into my face and mouth directly. Like, I swear they wait for the perfect moment to sneeze right in my face. Not Daniel's. They never do it to Daniel. Daniel doesn't get sick.
Do you think that possibly, and hear me out, that just men are better, right?
I do not.
Just a thought, if you don't agree. Okay, that's fair. I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, maybe our immune systems are better because we're just better at stuff. If you don't agree, that's fine.
Maybe moms get sick more often because they're doing way more and caring for more people. Who knows?
That is controversial.
I know. I thought I would add that since based off of your comments. Yeah, I don't know, but so I've had laryngitis for a week. I actually sound way better than I've been sounding. Like, I can hear part of my voice now, which is good. Tonight, this evening, I've used it as an excuse for a few nights. This is going to make me sound like not a very nice person or mom, but whatever. Gentry's down, hopefully.
Whatever.
Both. Night and last night, I'm like reading Leo books, and I get so tired when I read him books for some reason. Like, always happened to me. Read children's book, you're out. Like, it does it. And
because they're boring.
No, they're really not, though. Some of them are. Mm. Some of them aren't. But so we're reading. Leo's like on this Curious George kick. He loves this one Curious George book. Curious George goes to the doctor or the hospital. Curious George goes to the hospital. And it's a long ass book. Like, seriously, it's not a normal kid's book. It's like goes on and on and on. And both last night and tonight, he wants to read it every night. And usually I'll be like, nope, I'm not reading that tonight. Sometimes I'll use it as, I'm like, you need to brush your teeth right now. Put on your PJs right now. And if you do it in without any complaining, then I'll do it. But tonight I'm reading it. And I'm so tired. I'm like, Leo, I can't read anymore. I have no voice.
Ouch.
I know. But that, you know,
is
what?
That is it a new worked. Low.
I know.
If I mean, I this read- form of media is still around when he's of age, he's
going to learn
pissed.
A great parenting trick. Pretend you don't have a voice when you're sick of reading a book. And you're right.
You could get Audible.
You know, I've thought about doing some books on tape with him as we read at night, but I do like, generally I like reading the book.
Oh, you like spending time with your child. That's weird.
I'm that kind of mom.
Yeah. Boring.
God.
No, I didn't really get books read. I didn't really care. I was outside. I didn't have time for that.
Wait, neither of your parents read with you?
Well, Pops wasn't around long enough, so no. But I never asked them to. I don't know.
Okay, this is a very interesting childhood difference, because my dad was like convinced that reading is what gave him a good SAT score. He apparently read like hundreds of books one summer before his SAT, and then got like a ridiculously high SAT score. And so he was certain that if I did the same, I would also get a high SAT score. Clearly he like was not in reality. Like I mean I can certainly say, looking back, like there was no chance that reading 100 books was going to improve my SAT score that much. But anyways, a father
it's a lot of dream. Books over a summer.
Yeah. He said all he did that summer, I'll never forget this, is he had all these stacks of books and he just read them. So
wow.
I know. So then he wanted me to do that. And here I am, like a little dyslexic child that didn't like reading. Like, couldn't even read until I was a late bloomer when it came to reading, and had to take like special reading classes, or I think I worked with a tutor after school. I don't know if that was like, it was one of the teachers, but I'm now looking back, I'm assuming my parents like paid the teacher to do it. And it wasn't like a free elementary school thing. But yeah, so I had this like thing in my room. I had to read 15 minutes a day every day, and he would like I don't know if he would actually lock me in my room, but my memory is being locked in my room. So as you can imagine, it didn't
look at you now.
It didn't work out very well. I became very resentful.
Well, I've read over, last time I counted, I think I was at 214. I read a lot of books. So I agree with your father. Maybe not 100 over the summer, because that's a lot. But I do think that it has, like I get a lot.
I definitely think it definitely helps. Like,
yeah.
But I think that it's more than a summer. Like, yeah. I probably needed to be reading all those books, I don't know, like, my whole life to get the SAT score he was hoping for, let's put it that way.
I think it helped. It helped me when I took it because you start seeing words that you've seen in books before. And it also changed the way I spoke. Because even to this day, no one believes that I was born in Atlanta. But I was, because it's tattooed on my arm. But I have to attribute that to just reading books from different authors who a lot of them weren't from this country. And I don't know. I just learned a lot of words and I looked them up because I didn't understand them. So it just changed the way I spoke.
Why do people not think you are from Atlanta?
Because I don't have the typical Georgia accent. Which is not something I don't try to do. It's just how I speak.
Okay. So I feel like when you grow up in Atlanta, though, like you don't have a Southern accent? Or is this more of like a, you don't have a...
I get more East Coast stuff than anything. Anything on the East Coast. Pennsylvania, like New York, everything but where I'm from, actually.
When you grow up in Atlanta, you don't sound Southern.
Out-of-towners don't get that.
So I will say this, and I don't want this to sound bad. I feel like in Atlanta, there is, like, you can't tell if, like, a normal white person, where they're from. Like, you can tell a Southern country outside of Atlanta, Georgia person.
For sure. Now,
I feel like there is a different dialect among many Black people. Not everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I've never thought of that as like an Atlanta dialect.
It's like weird because I can hear what part of Atlanta, well, I guess I should say Black people. I can hear what part of Atlanta a certain Black person grew up in before they even say it.
Interesting.
Just because.
I don't even know if I can tell a difference between like a Black person's, I'm trying to think if I can. Accent from Atlanta than from like New York. I feel like New York I could.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they bleed their accent.
Yeah.
But no, I can the way we spoke on the west side of Atlanta is vastly different than people that grew up in Decatur and Lithonia and all these other places. It's just the slang, it's just the dial. Everything is different. I can tell as soon as someone starts talking, I'm like, oh, we're not from the same part. You're not from 20 West, which means you're less than.
Well, so that's so interesting. So what do you think people from Decatur, Lithonia, like, how would you describe it as being different?
It's hard to say in words, but it's just, they speak a little faster than the West Side people do. They rush through their sentences like they're trying to hurry up and say something or like they're hiding something almost. They're different. And I don't care if they get offended because I have never liked them and they know it. I tell them every chance I get. No, I'm just serious. But they speak a little different, and they're just not as good.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't make the rules. The mayor does.
Well, that's very interesting. I start paying attention to.
I'll point it out next time we're around each other. Yeah, I'll point it out. I'll make a big hullabaloo about it.
Because I don't know if I've ever noticed it, but then I feel like probably paying attention to it, I would be able to figure, you know, I could hear it. Mm-hmm. It's not something I've, like, put attention towards, which is interesting.
Are you familiar with Gucci Mane? Gucci Mane? You know that, the rapper,
right? The what?
Gucci Mane. Gucci Mane. You're familiar with him?
Like the designer?
No, he's a rapper. He has an ice cream cone on his face.
No. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Uh-oh. I really don't know anyone. Like, I'm just not in the know.
I don't know anyone.
People are like, people, for example, case in point, I'm going with a friend to go see a concert next week. Couldn't tell you who the band is because I forget. But she sent me their music, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know this song. So it's not that I don't know the music. I just don't know who's singing it or rapping it or whatever it.
You've entered that part of your life.
No, it's how I've always been. It's like I've always known the songs, but never known the lyrics. Eric can vouch for me on that one. And same thing with the who's singing the songs. It's like
I'm the complete opposite.
It's weird. Like, I know a lot of songs, but like, I know the rhythm, I know the melody, but I don't know the words, and I definitely don't know who sings it.
Well, that's all I listen to is the words.
I know. I don't. So this is a funny thing. I don't hear the lyrics unless I'm actually paying attention.
So you're more so a fan of the music part of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting, right?
Very opposite. But you know what would have helped you learn the lyrics? Reading 100 books over the summer.
Probably.
It all comes back around.
Yep.
Your father was right.
He probably was right. Let's be real. I am not denying the fact that reading would have helped for sure.
Speaking of reading, God, we are the segue king and queen. Before we started recording, I was on Twitter and people are going ape shit because the Little Mermaid is black.
Oh.
That's a real thing. Like, people are really upset about it.
I'm not surprised.
I shouldn't be. I guess disappointed. I'm more disappointed than surprised.
Well, of course.
I'm just like, it's not even a real thing.
It's classic. This is unconscious biases. Like, in full action. You don't think you're racist, and you're probably not racist. However, feeling passionate that a certain character couldn't be portrayed as black, that is not a fair thing. That, at least that's my personal opinion on unconscious bias. Like,
it's so stupid. It's not.
Yeah.
Ariel's her name, right? I never saw the film. Ariel.
Yeah, Ariel.
It's not a real person. It's a fictional character. It's just like people are making death threats against each other on Twitter. Well, not against the people that make the movie, I don't think. They're just going back and forth with each other about, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? And I'm just like, this is the dumbest shit ever.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because I don't. It's not like we're at the black meetings and it's like, guess what? We got a black mermaid.
I think if you passionately care and you're upset about it, that's when you should stop and kind of like take a second to really think, why is this upsetting you? Mm-hmm. I think if you are passionate because you're supportive of it, that's totally fair. And you feel like, you know, I can imagine, like, you finally feel like you're seeing, you're being represented on TV, or someone you know is being represented on TV, and people are just hating it.
Yeah, like, that's what sucks. They posted some videos of little girls being happy to see a mermaid that looks like them, and I was like, okay, that's kind of sweet, but
it's not cartoon, right? It's like real person Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I went and watched the trailer after I saw the trending. Yes, sir, it's a live action version of it, and Haley. I don't really know. I know she's a singer, but I've never heard any of her music. But she can really sing.
Oh, I don't know her. She can sing, is that what you said?
No, her voice is beautiful on the little trailer I saw. Oh, I mean, okay. I'm not going to watch the movie, but her voice is incredible. But that got kind of drowned out because, you know, she's brown. And they hate it.
I mean, yeah, that's embarrassing to be that passionate, like passionately upset about something like that. That is no bueno.
And wow, you tied this in beautifully. We are on fire tonight. Speaking of Hayden Brown, have you seen that they're shipping?
Hayden Brown. I'm like, who's Hayden Brown? No. And then I got what you said. Hayden.
I don't know who that is. Speaking of hating Brown, have you seen the videos of the immigrants being shipped to Kamala's doorstep?
What? No. You haven't
seen this?
I feel like I've been taking a break from the news for a little bit. I realized I was maybe too into it. And that it was affecting my mental, you know, when you like, you realize something's affecting you, like on an unconscious level, that's what I had that realization. So yeah. I am.
That's good you said that, because I think more people should recognize that watching the news every day, it will fuck you up.
Well, I'm not going to lie. It took talking to a therapist to figure it out. But yeah. It's all good. What therapy's for.
Yeah, I you stumbled across something that's very important. I think more people should, if they become overwhelmed. I have a PlayStation, so I don't really get overwhelmed with it. I just cut the PlayStation on. I just cut everything off and focus on playing Madden. But it is not, it's not healthy.
You mean playing video games to let out your aggression?
No, watch your mouth. No, what I'm saying is not healthy is watching the news. How dare you?
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I literally had to, like, talk to a therapist about it because I'm like, I don't know what to do because I like staying in the know. I have anxiety thinking about, like, not knowing what's going on in the world. Mm. And I think it's important to know what's going on in the world. But then when it's, like, affecting me, and my everyday, you know, like my thoughts, just like different things. Maybe I should take a break.
It's a damn if you do, damn if you don't type of thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Mm. So,
that was heavy.
I've been homesick this week. So, I also haven't been driving to work, which is when I usually listen to the news. So, maybe I'm like actually less.
Well.
Consciously doing this.
Governor Abbott from Texas, and I guess Governor DeSantis. I guess he's a governor. It doesn't matter.
Two of the worst people in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this before. But they're shipping Venezuelan immigrants, I believe it is. They're shipping them to, well, they shipped some to Martha's Vineyard, and they shipped some more to Kamala Harris. They shipped them to her doorstep.
How are they even shipping them? This sounds like they're like in the sex trading business.
That ties into my next point. It feels like human trafficking.
Yeah. How are you allowed to ship people
across state lines? The very same crime that R. Kelly is doing 30 years for.
That seems real odd.
No one's brought that part of it up. No one even said, hey, this doesn't feel legal. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if you can do that. But they're sending them by plane and by bus to Democratic states. And I'm watching. It's not funny because these are people's lives you're playing with. But I'm just like, this is unreal that like.
But then what happens when they arrive?
Well,
the destination.
then the people are scattering because they don't know where to put them. And I don't I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't want to make them sound like pieces of furniture, but they don't know where to place these human beings because, I mean, they just don't know. And so the people are just standing there just looking around because they don't know where they are. You know, they don't speak the language. And they're just shipping these people to different places. Like, you know, it's, I know it's for a political point, but it's just like, damn, man, that is, that's kind of cold.
Yeah, that's just, it's very odd in many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that even, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, what is the point they're trying to get across? Like, are these people
build a wall?
Are legally entering the country, or they're illegally entering?
They're seeking illegally. They're seeking asylum because there's like some crazy stuff going on in Venezuela.
Right. So then,
so they're seeking asylum. I believe
what they're doing is going against everything that they like preach and say. And they're bringing the people in only to like then release them in a very confusing state. It just seems, I don't get it. It seems.
Well, to play devil's advocate, and I guess a warning to all the listeners, I'm not Republican or Democrat, but their stance is, since you're not going to do anything about the border, we're going to bring the border to you. That's the point of this. That's why they're sending them to Democratic states.
You know what? Those people are probably, for the most part, I mean, I'm sure there's like a small percentage of them who are not great people, just like if we were shipping Americans to another country, same thing. But knowing where these people are coming from and their cultures, they're probably great workers. And as soon as they land, they're going somewhere and finding jobs, which, you know what, we need people.
Yeah.
So I say bring them all over, ask them if they want to be a teacher, a nurse, a waiter, and then get them trained and where they need to go. And then I'm solving America's problems. Like, this is why I should go into politics.
Well, yeah, that's, I think we've made that clear several episodes ago. But yeah, that's definitely your future. And also, Martha's, why is it so difficult? Martha's Vineyard is beautiful from everything I've seen. So that's not really a punishment, man. It's,
yeah.
I'm going from a country where people are dying and there's a war. You're putting me in this place that rich people go to vacation.
Right, like, just, perfect. They'll get a job in a restaurant where people are tipping well. Perfect.
Yeah. So it's kind of bad. Oh, and it's also backfiring.
That's
because
what I'm saying. It seems backwards. Seems like a really stupid
political move.
Fight? I don't even know what to call it. Yeah, it's political just, move.
Well, they're taking them on buses, but here's the all the Republicans out there, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. They're taking them on buses, but when the buses gas up, these people, they speak a little English and they're starting to understand what the goal is. So they're hopping off the buses and they're like running wild. I'm sounding like they're such really an not. Asshole right now.
Yeah.
No, really this is terrible.
They're running away.
Yes, running away, not running wild. They're running away when they get gas, but they're running away in red states. So from all points of view, this is not working.
Wow.
Because now you've got illegal immigrants just running away in places like Alabama and Georgia. So you're not helping the situation that you're trying to. It's so stupid, and I don't even think they thought it out very well. Well, maybe they just don't care.
I really don't understand why they don't just open the border up. I mean, we need people. We freaking need nurses. If anyone thinks that what I'm saying is crazy. You go to a hospital and see the wait times and what's happening. We need
care workers. Oh, it's bad. It's really bad.
Horrible. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, talk about taking a situation, lemons and making lemonade. What do we need, people? What do these people want? Jobs, you know, offer them training. And ta-da, you have a whole workforce. You know what? Maybe I'll start a company. Like the immigrant to healthcare company.
That's going to be expensive.
Think about it. These, you get people who they need a job. And they need health insurance. And you don't have to have like a college degree for it. They can be put in programs where they start at one level and build their way up to advance.
But you're giving all our jobs to foreigners. What is your problem?
They work harder than Americans do. Perfect.
Yeah. They do. Most of them, yeah. I would say about 80 or 90%.
I mean, in general, like...
That's human nature, though.
Especially, like, Hispanic and South American culture. I feel like they're much more gentle. Like, they want to... I don't know. Maybe Venezuelans... I don't know if they would be described as gentle. Probably not. When I think... The Venezuelans, I don't know what I think of, spicy women, pretty much.
I don't have a problem with them coming over, I guess, and this is probably the Republican in me. But if you're going to be here, then you got to pay taxes because they are kicking my ass, man. You can work and, you know, earn a living and start a family. I don't own the land here, so I'm not telling people where they can go, but... Every time I look at my check and I see what the feds are taking from me, you got to take this beating too. And you can stay.
I think without being legal, you can't pay taxes, can you? I don't know. I don't know how this works.
No, they can't really. They can't take taxes out if you're not even supposed to be here. But
yeah,
if I were at the border, I would just have them fill out tax paperwork.
Right, if we set them up with like a job, you know, connected them to work where they're getting paid and they're getting health insurance, I feel like most people who are illegal, I don't know. I interact often with someone who is not legal. And
oh no.
I don't know what.
Oh, no, you're talking to illegal immigrants. You're going to get in trouble.
I know.
How dare you?
But it's one of these things where I feel like if this person had the I don't know what to say that they do or they don't have the opportunity to become a citizen. I've never really asked. Maybe I should.
That test is hard as fuck.
Seriously.
You know Maria. People out there listening don't know her, but she's a friend of ours. And she was studying.
Maria knows more about American history than I do.
God, yes. She's a U.S. citizen now, but when she was studying for the test, some of the questions she had to answer, I was like, I don't even fucking know that.
Hey, I'm pretty sure you have to like be able to name almost all the presidents.
The shit is insane.
I think I could name like maybe 10 presidents. Maybe.
I would be deported if I had to take that test. They wouldn't even let me stay here. I was like, she showed me the like practice test. I'm like, what the fuck? What? Who?
Yeah. No, it's really hard. It's amazing that people like dedicate. Well, and you see like when people become so proud and it's so sweet.
I get it. I get it. I mean, I have my qualms with America, but that's because I'm from here. But I get why people would come from another country and just be so proud to get their citizenship. I get it. I get it. I didn't before.
Sure.
before I knew Maria, I was just like, calm the fuck down with that flag. But now I get it.
Yeah, I get it. I think that we should have her on the podcast. I think that, you know, for her.
With a translator, probably.
That is not nice.
I want her to listen to it. Yeah, she gets it.
Maria's English is very good for anyone out there who doesn't know Maria. But I'm sure that there are a lot of mixed feelings when you leave a country that's screwed up and then you come to a country like this one where you feel like there's so much opportunity and your family's going to be better here. But then
we take it for granted. We do take it for granted sometimes, even with all the racism and crime.
Yeah. Well, also just like seeing things unfold, you know, current day, I'm sure that there's a lot of mixed emotions and mixed feelings. And sometimes I'm sure there's doubt. Like, did we make the right decision? Is this country actually better?
Well, I've been reading up on what's going on in Venezuela, and I would say,
I would rather. Yeah, I'm pretty sure most Venezuela. I mean, I know that Venezuela
and Mexico, as well. Yeah. I would rather be racially profiled than murdered in the middle of the street. So I get it. I get it. Yeah. I do get it.
What are people being murdered for?
Well, the cartel is taking over Venezuela. And, you know, they have people, they'll work their 40 hour, like, obviously they probably work more than 40, but this is just an example. They'll work 40 hour. Imagine Americans working your whole work week and then having to give your whole check to an organization that's, you know, selling drugs throughout your country and killing people and killing police. They kill police in the middle of the street. Like, it's really bad. It's really bad. I see why people do go through the extreme measures they do to get over here. Because it's bad, man. Oh, yeah, we talk about the hood here, but it's...
No, if you feel like your family's not safe, you're going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I get it. The more I read about it, the more I understand why they do all they do to get here.
Yeah. There have been moments where I, like, realize how lucky I am. And how privileged I am because, like, you know, when the internet goes out, for example, and your or electricity, or
when first world problems.
yeah, exactly. And you're like, ooh, I don't know how to do this. And then thinking of like, just I'm trying to think. The other day I was thinking about if like all Wi-Fi went out.
Oh my God!
I know it gives you anxiety, right? But it's how dependent we are on Wi-Fi, and how like I wouldn't be able to talk to if Wi-Fi in the phones, for example, wouldn't be able to talk to my parents, and like if something happened and just knocked it out completely, it would just leave you in such a panic. And I feel like that's the kind of feeling they live in that panic.
But they have more serious issues to deal with. They're worried about people slaughtering their family because they looked at someone the wrong way. So it's a lot more severe. And this, for people that don't know, I'm black. So we black people, we have our problems with America. We really do. But I am cognizant that I am fortunate because it could be a lot worse in other countries. So when people say, you know, oh, if you don't like it, leave it. We don't want to leave. We just wanted to get better.
You know?
But I am grateful that, like, even hearing that Wi-Fi scenario you just gave freaked me the fuck out. And the fact that affected me lets me know how privileged I am.
Think of if, like, the Russians figured out how to do that,
too. Oh, they're working on it.
They're
working on it.
They just, like, wiped out cellular service.
We would be crippled.
Like, I don't even feel like I would have access to money.
You know? I don't know my mother's phone number.
That's a problem. You should definitely know your mom's phone
number. I don't know anybody's phone number by heart anymore. And when I was growing up, and I'm showing my age, but everybody in your life, for people who were born in the 90s and 2000s, this is going to freak you out. When I was a kid/teenager, we had to memorize every single phone number of the people we knew.
Okay. When you said like born in the 90s, I was thinking that. Yeah,
because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. But your contact book and your iPhone was in my brain.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it would be very interesting. I feel like the newer generations that are coming up with internet, like Gen Z, for example, they're coming, you know, they're so good at adapting and they're fast at doing these things and they're very technologically independent. But also, if something happened and technology disappeared, they would be fucked.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
Well, you've seen that in the industry we work in. Like when the computers go down and there's something called downtime.
Yeah, exactly.
You see how the older nurses respond and how the younger nurses respond. The younger nurses are like, they're panicking. They're having anxiety attacks. They don't know what to do. And the older nurse is like, oh, well, I'll just write it down and memorize it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely scary when you're, like, used to having a computer to check your work and make sure that, you know, the meds you're giving are for the right patient at the right time and all those kind of things. When that disappears, that is freaky.
There's a book, and I wouldn't not insist. I can't force anybody. But there's a book titled 1984, and it was written like in the 70s or 60s. George Orwell, I believe, is his name.
Orwell.
Thank you. George Orwell wrote a book, 1984, and he said that technology would be the end of humanity. And everything you're describing is what is so crazy, because I always go back to that book. That's one of the hundreds of books I read. If all this technology were to go out today, and the scenario you just described is exactly what he said in a book. Like, if all the technology went down, we would be extremely fucked.
Yeah. No, actually, I feel like learning how to farm, no joke, like, there's never been a more important time than learning how to, like, manage to grow your own food. Like, that's an example where with the whole Ukraine war and how much wheat they produce and the fact that like, you know, that's it, just the how connected the world is and how much when you take one domino out of the line, like how much it, or when you knock one domino down, I should say, I guess, how much it affects the others. That freaks me out.
Wow. That was deep. And it made,
I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
And it made so much sense that it stunned me for a minute, because I'm like, yeah, one country that we never think about could fuck up the economy over here. And
right,
it has.
Exactly.
It definitely has.
I mean, there's
speaking
so
of foreign countries.
Speaking.
How did you feel when Queen Elizabeth died? And try not to cry. Try not to
long
cry.
Long live the queen, which she did live a long life.
She was 96.
I actually was thinking about her life the other day because I caught like, I don't know, a minute. Normally I'm very into the royal family, like super into it. Watch the whole, all the Crown.
And, really?
Love the royal family.
Wow.
But I guess with the funeral, like, you know, it's coming. Not shocking. It's days long. It's lots of parading, like lots of walking around. And so it wasn't like, I didn't watch anything. Whereas like weddings and stuff, I was glued to the TV the whole time.
Boggles my mind.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know you were that in tune with the royal family.
I mean, Kate Middleton is living my dream.
Who is Kate Middleton?
Actually,
that's William's wife. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And Megan.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Megan is Harry. Yeah. Harry's the redhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who left him?
They live in California. Yep.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about like how she must have felt at the end of her life. And I really feel like if I were Queen Elizabeth, I would have to think I literally lived one of the most incredible lives you can absolutely live. Like no one can argue that. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of challenges and hardships that she faced, but she traveled the world and is like famous without actually having, well, I guess she had to do a lot. That's not really fair to say she didn't have to do a lot, but I don't know. I just feel like she got every opportunity in the world. She met every, you know, anyone you wanted.
Who was anyone?
She met them. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And everyone like respects her. Everyone, it's not like she dies and people are like, oh, thank God. Like, you know, what an incredible life. What an incredible person.
Irish people don't like her too much.
Well, yeah, that's true. I'm sure there are some people who are not, who are happy she's no longer around. I think there's more people who are unhappy that her son is taking over. But
how,
I feel like...
How bad must he feel? Was he 74, 75?
Yeah,
he waited this long.
I mean, yeah, he probably will have a not. Well, I mean, he has good genes, clearly. His father lived really long, too. I think he lived till 99.
That's true. But damn, man.
But people
74?
Like
because he cheated on Diana, you think?
Oh, yeah. That's why people don't like him. I mean, like, it was just that was the beginning. He's just. If you watch The Crown, you'll really get to know his personality. It's just a tough personality.
Wow. You were really into this. I had no idea.
Yeah, I am.
I just learned all the characters' names in the royal family, maybe.
Characters?
When Harry left.
Nice people?
Yeah, when Harry left, I was just like, who the fuck is Harry? And then I did. And then I was like, oh, the redhead. I knew his face, but I didn't care enough about his name.
I literally remember waking up, was really early. It was dark. My dad may have woken us up. We came downstairs, or I came downstairs, and the TV was on, and Princess Diana had died. It was the car accident. And, like, I remember it, like, September 11th. And I think I was... I was young.
It was 97.
It was seven. I was 7, 8, 9. Yeah. That's funny. Thinking I was born in 88 and that was 10 years, I thought, oh, my sister was born in 95.
I wasn't 9.
Yeah.
I was older than 9. And I'll leave it at that. Which just
do you remember
immediately?
Do you remember how?
No, we didn't care.
Or you?
Yeah. 15? No. My showbiz age is 28, so I'll stick with the showbiz age.
Mm. So what are your feelings on Queen Elizabeth's passing?
I don't care anything about the royals. At all. So I was just shocked at how much press. Well, maybe I shouldn't be because the wedding was on TV all day. So not really shocked.
Yeah.
I guess it would be the same as like when Tupac and Biggie died in our community, how big it was. And it was just such a, not to laugh at their deaths, but I was just like, why do they care so much? And then I got on the opposite side and I was, just, maybe people were saying the same thing about us. When two rappers were killed. Like, why do they care so much about rappers? So, I mean, I get it. I guess. I was never into it, so it didn't affect me at all. And she was 96. Like, she didn't die in her 20s. She had right. a long... Like, people would love to make 96 years.
Oh, totally. She not only was she 96, man. She was 96 and she was thriving. Literally 3 days before her death, she, like, whatever it's called when you, like, make someone a duke or something like that. I mean, she was very, I think, with it until... That's my thing. I'm like, I could live till 99. I have long genes. But if I don't have a brain that works, that's not good.
Yeah.
It's a deep, dark place for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We should get off of that. And let's end it on a happy note.
You know what I should go do? Read some books.
Maybe Curious George. I have a feeling that that's in your near future. Yeah, just a feeling. All right, well, I don't want to say anything because every time we end it, we're like, you know, let's hope next time we talk, everything. Every time we say that, something fucking crazy happens. So yeah. Let's just see how it goes. Maybe that should be our new,
okay.
Yeah, our new slogan. Let's just see how it goes.
We'll just say, instead of long live the queen, we'll say, rest in peace, the queen.
Yes.
And Tupac.
And Biggie. Yeah.
And Biggie.
Thank you. And DMX. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to stop with the rappers.
And Kobe. Shit,
yeah. Oh, God. Now I'm sad. I know.
Sorry. Sorry. I just did that.
Oh, man. I'm not going like to sleep well tonight.
My respects.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's just the list would be too long.
I happen to be thinking of him randomly today. I don't know why. Something came up, made me think of him, then made me think of you, and then made me think of him again, and then made me think of his wife, and then it made me think of how sad she must be. Anyways, that all happened today.
Yeah, you got to start playing video games. Daniel needs to make you a gamer tag. You gotta disconnect.
Okay, well, it's been fun. Sorry, yeah. I've been coughing in your ear the whole time.
No, the listeners know you're playing hurt, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, that's Mamba mentality. Mamba mentality. All right.
Okay, bye.
Yep.